Verses 16 to 20 are going to be found on page 1001 of the Church Bible. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, how was your holiday? We had a really lovely time as a family. And even though we've only recently got back already, we've been in conversations with other people about the sorts of things we and they might do next year. I wonder, what sort of holiday do you prefer? Self-catering? Lots of freedom to do what you want, but it can sometimes be quite hard work. Half board, good amount of structure, but you've got some flexibility there as well. Or do you like the all-inclusive package, the total package that you buy into? It's all there for you. Well, I wonder, applying those different types of holidays to Christianity, do you think Christianity is more like a self-catering thing where you choose the bits you like? Or is it more like an all-inclusive package that is given to us to embrace? Well, a new September is a good time to take stock of things, to look at the core things we believe and ask, where are we going? What are we going to live for in this year ahead? And so we've come to the Great Commission. The reading is from the end of Matthew's Gospel. It's what the risen Lord Jesus said, his last words to his 11 disciples. It's his agenda, his final charge. Our church strapline, "No Go and Go," is basically based on this. So we're getting right to the DNA of what we are all about. A reminder of where this reading fits into Matthew's Gospel. Not long before, Jesus has died on a cross to take the punishment for the sins of you and me. He came to rescue us from our sins, and he died in our place, that if we trust him, we may have peace with God. And then he rose from the dead to show that his death for our sins has succeeded. And he rose in order to assume a new kingly authority, to establish a new phase in God's kingdom. And so as Jesus says these words to his disciples, a new age has dawned. And these words, this commission, is what we as his followers are to be about until the end of this age. It's down there in verse 20. So let's dive in and see four exciting, challenging features of this great commission. And the first is this. You might have to turn them for me. Jesus has all authority. Verse 18 again. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Within the eternal plan of God, the Trinity, the Father has entrusted his Son with all authority. After his resurrection, he is now on his way to ascend on high to the right hand of his Father and assume kingly rule. And just look at the extent of it. It is all authority in heaven and on earth. Abraham Kuyper, a Christian theologian and former prime minister of Holland, put it like this. There is not one square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, "Mine." But why does Jesus say this to his disciples? Well, first and mainly, it is to comfort us. Just think of the turmoil that these 11 guys have gone through with Palm Sunday and the excitement. And then the shock and grief of Jesus' arrest and trial and his death. Then the wonder of the resurrection and the sadness that he's going to heaven. It says in verse 17, some doubted. Much ink has been spilt over what that means. Who was it who doubted and what were their doubts? But suffice to say, Jesus has come to strengthen their faith and give them comfort. He has triumphed and now has all kingly authority. I wonder if you're a Christian here today, do you need some comfort and reassurance that Jesus really is in charge, that he's got things in hand? Just think of this week coming. What situations or relationships are you facing where you really need to know he's in charge? He's got it in hand. There are so many powerful people and institutions in this world that we can see, and we can't see Jesus. How much do we need to know that in the midst of this world that is fallen, that is suffering, we're still waiting for heaven to come, we need to know that Jesus is on the throne of the universe. It's a great comfort. But also, Jesus' authority is an uncomfortable challenge. One of the wonderful things about being a follower of Jesus is that we can have a personal relationship with the one who made us. It is amazing. And yet, this reminds us here that it's not a relationship of equals. He's not like another friend. He is a friend, but he's not like just another friend. This relationship couldn't be more unequal. This is one who has all authority in the universe. And so whatever kind of relationship we have with Jesus, it's a relationship that that includes us surrendering all to him. So it's an all-inclusive package, not self-catering. Jesus has all authority. And the second thing, I think you might have to do it again, Dan. Oh, there we go. Thank you very much. We are to make disciples of all nations. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Since he's Lord of all, his followers are to make disciples of all nations. We'll see a little later how all Christian believers today are commanded to be involved in this. But first, briefly, some questions. What is a disciple? It is, of course, another name for a Christian. But the word actually means the pupil of a teacher. And so disciples are learners. In Matthew chapter 12, they are described as those who hear, understand, and obey Jesus' teaching. So we are learners of Christ, under Christ. It's not just head learning. Christianity is not just an intellectual thing. It's a whole new life that he calls us to. Here's an L plate. All Christians are learners. We're not the finished articles. We all carry L plates. But it is different from a driving situation in one respect. Jesus has already passed the test for us. He's already won us heaven by his death on the cross. And so now the mission then of these 11 disciples is to go and make other disciples of all nations. The page of history has turned into a wonderful new age. When Jesus was on earth, he confined his ministry to Israel. But now, as the risen Lord of all, he commissions his disciples to go out to all. This is, of course, what he's been training them up for those 3 years. Think of Mark chapter 3:14. It says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. And that is how disciples are made. As the message, the good news of Jesus' death for us on the cross is proclaimed, is announced to the world. Matthew doesn't actually, in our reading today, say that, but if you look at Luke's version of the Great Commission, it makes it clear. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. So if you were to put up the next slide, thanks, Dan. How are disciples made? The proclamation of the word, the good news, is announced by people. Sometimes through talks like this, through studies, through conversations, or any kind of conversations about the word and the gospel, bathed in prayer. We need the Holy Spirit to be at work. That was one of the big things we learned in our series on the Holy Spirit in the summer term. It is the Holy Spirit who takes the message and takes it to our hard human hearts, softens our hearts, and enables us to receive it and believe in it. This is how disciples are made: proclamation of the gospel by people in prayer and through the power of the Spirit. And through this message, God's people will now come from every tribe, nation, and language. Christianity is no longer an Israelite thing, nor a European thing. It's for all. And if you have any doubts about that, just read a little bit about the growth of the church in the last 100 years. The church is an extraordinary global phenomenon. In all kinds of places now that you would not have thought there are Christians, the Great Commission is working out. And we have the joy of being involved in it. We can look forward in October the 8th, of welcoming Chris Howells to be with us. He has gone out to Uganda to serve the church there. It is a joy to be involved, and it is right for us to support such people. If you want some stories of wonderful things that God is doing in other parts of the world, just to come and chat to Margaret in the wheelchair at the front after the service. She was just telling me about Bible studies she took with Kenyan children at 5:30 in the morning. Lots of wonderful things are going on around the world. But all nations includes our nation and locality. And often, it's easier to send money to other parts of the world than it is to witness here. We are called to go and make disciples. And for most of us, that means going into our own families, neighborhoods, and workplaces. So how are we doing with this? We need to be honest. It is not easy, particularly with those we are really close to. And we also know that not all of us are equally gifted at sharing our faith. But as we'll see in a little bit, we are all called to do what we can with the gifts that we've been given and the opportunities we have to extend the Great Commission. Our biggest reason for struggling with talking about our faith isn't lack of ability, and there's always something we can do, but I think it is fear of getting hurt. Now, we do need some training. We're going to see that in a little while. But I think the biggest thing is fear of getting hurt. I'm going to read just a little bit from the back of this book. It's called Honest Evangelism by Rico Tice. And I'm going to be plugging this book as the vicar's personal recommendation of a book to read this term. He says, and he is a gifted and effective evangelist, "I find evangelism hard." Isn't that encouraging? He finds it hard. And he says, "There is increasing hostility to the message of the gospel." And it's true in the 21st century West. I'm sure you can feel it. And this book is about how to keep on trying, even when it's tough. Because he goes on to say, but excitingly, there is also increased hunger for that message. I want to share with you the challenges and joys of talking about Jesus. There will be pain if we talk about Jesus. Pain of rejection, opposition, persecution even. But the big idea of this book is that if we persevere through the pain barrier, there are still many opportunities. Of course, what this book is saying is just what Jesus himself said it would be like. I don't know if you spoke to my friend Ewan and his family, who stayed in the vicarage while we were away. They came to church one Sunday. He's a minister up in Scotland, and he's one of the most passionate people I know at sharing his faith in Jesus. When I last had a proper chat with him last year, he was really discouraged. He was finding it really hard. And I was shocked, because I thought, Ewan, he's the most amazing evangelist I know, and he's finding it hard. Well, I caught up with him over these holidays and I asked how things were. And he said, "Well, you know what? I've gone through the pain barrier. Yeah, it's still hard. But I've just got back to enjoying again the thrill of talking to people about Jesus. And I'm trusting the results of that with God. Jesus has all authority. And he's given us the task, the permission to speak about him. No human power has the right to command us to be silent about the King of the universe. We have his permission to go for it. More than that, we have his command to do it. We are to make disciples of all nations. And then third, have the next slide. And you're probably going to press it twice or three times. There we go. We are to teach people to obey all that he taught us. Verse 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Verse 19 of our reading tells us what Jesus wants his disciples to do with the new disciples they have made through the prayerful proclaiming of the gospel. First, they are to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism is the outward sign, the outward initiation ceremony of which tells us in picture language what has happened when someone becomes a disciple. It's a washing, a forgiveness of our sins. It's a going down into the water, a symbolic death to the old life, and a rising up again to a new life as a learner of Christ. It's also a way of publicly saying to the world, you've become a disciple. If anyone here is a believer in Jesus, and you've come to believe in him, and you've not yet been baptized, well, this means that it is a command of Jesus to go public and go for it. And if you want to talk about it, please, please come and talk. I would be delighted to work out how we can do that. Secondly, these new disciples, having been baptized, are to be taught to obey everything Jesus commanded them. It's a replicating ministry. The 11 disciples are to make new disciples who will learn and obey all the things that Jesus taught them. And so they become new disciples. And because they've got to obey everything that they've been taught, they have got to go and make more disciples. So it's a replicating ministry. We make disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. And that's how the Christian faith has spread all over the world as it is today. A church not too far from here has as its strapline, we are here to make disciple makers. And that's what the Great Commission is. Make disciples who will become established and mature and equipped to make more disciples. Now, you might have heard of the three E's of the discipleship process. Evangelizing, that's hearing the good news. And after you've believed it, being established in that faith and built up. And then being equipped to serve Jesus and his great commission. And the arrow goes back to the beginning. It's that evangelizing more. And it goes on and on. So the Great Commission isn't just making new disciples. It is making disciples who are established and equipped to make more. And we are committed to the whole of this process. So if you would say you're a follower of Jesus already, here is a question for you. Are you committed to being established and equipped for serving in this way? Well, this is where the church family comes in. All of us are disciples. All of us are learners of Christ together. We've all got our L plates on in here. None of us are perfect. None of us are the finished article. And God has designed things such that it is together that we learn most. Now, of course, we have our own individual times with the Lord, but together is special. How are disciples established and equipped together? Well, it's through teaching. What teaching? Well, it's all the things that Jesus taught. It's his word. And so, again, surprise, surprise, it's the same three things that made us disciples in the first place, that establish us and equip us. The same three P's. And so if we want to be established and equipped, we need to expose ourselves to these three P's. we want to be established and equipped, coming week by week on a Sunday, as we work our way through Luke's Gospel, so we don't miss out bits, we will be established and equipped. As we get involved in relationships with each other, things like growth groups, we share together the word and pray for each other and encourage each other. Life is hard, isn't it? And we can encourage each other together. And growth groups are just a bunch of people with L plates on who want to learn more about Jesus and how to serve him. And if you come to the supper, you'll hear that we are thinking of creative ways to make it possible for more people in this really busy part of the world to have some kind of small group fellowship, learning about Jesus together. And then finally, being committed to the prayers. So we are to teach people to obey all that he has taught us, establishing and equipping them. And then finally, a wonderful final thing, Jesus is with us always. As a child, I was a Star Wars fanatic in the early 80s. And I just loved that line in the original film. After Luke has blown up the Death Star, Obi-Wan Kenobi says, "Remember, the Force will be with you always." It just sent tingles up my spine. So exciting. But listen to Jesus. He's not an impersonal force in some galaxy far, far away. He is the personal Lord of all of the universe. And he says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." As we obey, as we step out and through the pain line, he promises to be with us always. What a wonderful promise that is. We are never alone if we seek to live and speak for Jesus. He is with us. As we've learned in the summer, in particular, the presence of the Holy Spirit brings Jesus to us. Let's sum things up then. Is Christianity about a self-catering thing or receiving an all-inclusive package? Well, Jesus has all authority. We are to make disciples of all nations, teaching them all he taught, and he is with us always. Couldn't be more clearer, could it? It's all or it's nothing. Someone has said about our hearts that Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. It is receiving and surrendering to a complete package. So where are you with this? Good time to be honest, isn't it, about where we all are. Would you say you're still self-catering? Having a look into the Christian faith, picking and choosing which bits are you're attracted to, maybe which bits of church life, which bits of the Bible that you find acceptable. If you're in the position of investigating the Christianity like this, well, great. This is the place to be. We long for this to be a place where you can come and learn Christ before making that commitment. But of course, in self-catering phase, if you like, I remain in charge, don't I, if I'm a self-caterer? At some point, the decision has to be made whether I accept Jesus, his authority, and his package or not. So I ask you, are you still in self-catering phase? Do you need to consider Jesus' call on your life? Or could it be that you're a half-boarder? There's the picture, it's possible to be like this, actually. There's a picture in the classic book, Pilgrim's Progress, of a man called Mr. Facing Both Ways. He's facing heaven, and he's also facing the city of destruction. And he can't commit. He's stuck. An unstable and a dangerous place to be. I wonder if any feel like that. Is it time to make a decision once and for all? Or can you truly say, yes, I have accepted Jesus and his mission. I know I fail. I know I'm imperfect. But that is what that, I believe in it, and that's what I want to be like. I've accepted it. And if that's the case, let's just think for a moment about what we do about it. It is hard, isn't it, to follow the Great Commission, to put into practice what it means to accept this all-inclusive package. Now, this is just an observation. I am not in any way trying to have a go. I've been here nearly 2 years now, and I ran some kind of explore course every term. There's been 5 courses in total. And throughout this time, just one person has been brought by someone in the church family. All the other people came through other means. Now, it's just one marker of our evangelism, but I expect the truth is that most of us are not doing that much evangelism, and I include myself in this. I am in the dock as well. You see, it's easy for a vicar to say, well, I'm giving sermons, I'm running courses. But what about the hard thing of speaking to family and neighbours and people at the school gate? So at the start of the new school year, let us take a long, hard look at ourselves and ask, are we fully signed up to the all-inclusive mission? Are we living in the light of it? Well, if we are, or if we long to be, we do need help. We need help to be established and equipped, because it is hard. This book, Honest Evangelism, is brilliant. And I'm going to be pushing it all term as the vicar's personal recommendation of a book for the term. It's just 100 pages long. And I reckon that pretty much any of us could find time to read it sometime between now and our Christmas services. And can I suggest it's something that the sort of message it's got is something we need, because it's talking about life on the front line now in the 21st century and issues to do with our personal lives and priorities. Honest evangelism. What about church programs and events? The events that we do, the courses we run. The truth is, they're only going to be effective if we are committed as individuals to disciple making. We've just been having meetings with Coffee and Kids and Hot Shots After School Club, and just trying to think through how can we make sure we really are doing evangelism and then helping people to take the step on to being established and equipped. And we've realized that Coffee and Kids needs to have some people there who are just there to be loving and welcoming and not do anything practical and be ready to share their lives and Jesus. And the same with Hot Shots. We're going to have Hot Shots Cafe for the mums and the preschool children who come along. And we're going to have some of the church family who will be there for good reason, just being there to make friends and share Jesus. We need to think through every area of our church's life and how can we make sure this disciple-making process is going right through the heart of it. Now, there are many good things that we Christians can do. But making, establishing, and equipping disciples is the main thing. It is the reason Jesus hasn't yet returned at the end of the age. And we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Whatever we do, wherever we serve, needs to be shaped by this. So I wonder, are you up for recommitting to being involved in this disciple-making process? Now, not all of us are like my friend Ewan. He is a one-off. If you met him, you might have realized. But we can all do something. We can all be equipped to serve. You might have heard the story of the cleaner at NASA. I think lots of you probably have. A visitor comes to the NASA Space Center and meets a cleaner in the corridor and says, what's your job here? And he says, I put a man on the moon. He recognized that everything was about putting the man on the moon. Can we, in the same way, think that whatever service in church we are doing, it is about making disciples of all nations? That's what it's all about. Jesus and his mission is what has drawn us together at Holy Trinity. We are a diverse bunch of people. If we weren't following Jesus together, I expect many of us wouldn't particularly know each other or have things in common. But we're drawn together by Jesus and his common mission. And so I invite you to recommit this year to the Great Commission, to the exciting adventure of serving Jesus here in Frogmore and St. Albans and beyond. And I'm going to pray for us all now. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful words of Jesus, for the comfort and challenge that all authority has been given to him, for the command that we are to make disciples of all nations, and for the wonderful promise that you are with us right until the end of the age. Father, please help each of us to examine our hearts and respond to what you, by your Spirit, through your word, have been saying to each of us this morning. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen.